Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 14. Proverbs, chapter 14. As Brother Jeff was reading, I love as we read these scriptures and it sets forth the absolute certainty of God's accomplishment. Almighty God saves His people, saves them by power, saves them on purpose. Proverbs 14, as we continue going through this precious book, verse by verse, looking each time when we consider the Scriptures, we're looking for Christ. We're looking for His message, His gospel. Verses 33 to 35, wisdom resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. Father, again we ask your blessing upon your word. Lord, feed us with the bread of life himself. May we feast upon him as we eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. For Christ's sake. Amen. I know this according to the Word of God, that there are things that are hidden from man's understanding. In fact, our Lord even thanked the Father for hiding things that are revealed to some, and to some left in darkness. The Lord thanked him for that. I thank thee, O Father, that thou hast hidden these things. This morning I'd like for us to consider three glorious truths found from this passage of Scripture right here. We take God's Word as we come to it, and we deal with it just exactly the way the Spirit of God has written it. And there's three things out of this passage that I see must be revealed. God must show a man, show a woman these things. And here's the three things. Here's the three points that I'm going to deal with this morning. Number one, God's gift to His people. Number two, God's mercy to His people. And number three, God's justice to His people. All right. Number one, God's gift to His people. Wisdom, verse 33, resteth in the heart of him that hath understanding. But that which is in the midst of fools is made known. Now, before I consider this first point, God's gift to His people, I'd like to consider where that gift is actually going to be found. Here it is. This is where God's gift is found within His people, in the heart of him that hath understanding. Now, everybody has got a spiritual heart. It's either a stony heart or it's a new heart. It's either a dead heart or it's a live heart. One of the two. But the man that has understanding. Now that man that has understanding, well, first of all, of himself, he has understanding of his frailty. He has understanding of his need. But this man that has understanding of himself also has understanding of God's sovereignty, of God's will, God's glory, God's purpose. I love, as we consider God Almighty, and that we are, we're the recipients of His grace, His mercy, and His choosing. We are what we are by the grace of God. We know that. If God has called a man, called a woman out of darkness, they know what they are in themselves, because they know who He is somewhat. That man, a man that hath understanding, he has a heart that receives the gift of God. Ezekiel 36:26, the Lord said, "A new heart also will I give you, a new spirit will I put within you." Now, man regenerated by the grace of God has got two natures. He's that old dead nature with which I was born, I still got it. I got it. And it never changes. That old heart of rebellion that I was born with, that dead heart that never heard anything before I was under the sound of the gospel, Freddie. I got that heart. What's happened is a new heart by the grace of God has been imparted, put in. A new spirit, a new will, a new love. A love for God, a love for God's Word, a love for God's people. There's a new heart there. And it's a heart of understanding. This new nature is put there by the power of God. Same power that healed the blind man we looked at a few minutes ago. Same power. God's power. God's might. Man that God has given a new heart has a new desire for God's honor, God's glory. And when he hears men lie on God, it just cringes. When he hears men say, "God's done all He can do." Well, maybe your God has. Maybe your God's done all He could do. The God of your imagination, that little g God, but I'm telling you, this is not the God of this Bible. The God of this Bible rules and reigns. And I'm telling you, you're in His hand. And He's going to do with you whatever He's pleased to do with you. And if He's pleased to call you out of darkness by His grace and power, I'm telling you, He's going to keep you. And whenever you stray, He's going to chasten you. You're mine. I chose you. I bought you. I gave you a new heart. You belong to me. My kids, as I've told you before, they knew where the lines were because I established them. This is what you can do. This is what you can't do. And if you do what I tell you not to do, you'll have to deal with me. That's the way it is. Now, the kids down the street, my kids used to ask me, just like your kids did, "Well, so-and-so does this." I don't care. So-and-so don't belong to me. You do. Well, they can go. That's fine. That's fine, but you can't. This is the way it is. A man that has understanding knows something of God's will, God's power, God's glory. He was born with a wicked heart, and God gave him a new heart. And now both of them are contrary one to another. They fight. That old heart doesn't rule anymore. God said, I'll remove the stony heart. That cold heart that rebels against God. It doesn't rule anymore. Sin shall not have the dominion over you. But sin is still there. Galatians 5:17. This is what Scripture says. The flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. Now listen to this. So that ye cannot do the things that you would. There's two natures in a believer. Two hearts. One of them has been dethroned, and the other one has been placed there, and in it is found the gift of God. And I'll talk about it in just one second. But because there's two natures there, striving against each other, you cannot do the things that you would. Because the presence of sin is in our flesh, we cannot do good as we would desire to by that new heart. Because sin is there, we can't do the things that we would. But because the divine nature is there, that old nature that would do nothing but rebel and be evil and completely rule and reign in this person right here, it's restrained, so he can't do what he wants to either. So we have two natures striving against each other. Look at Romans 7:19-23. Romans 7:19-23. Here's the Apostle Paul, who by the grace of God knew something about himself. And therefore the Spirit of God through Paul teaches us. This is the way we are. Listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. For the good that I would, I do not. Let me ask you this, you that know Him. Would you not desire to walk, to know God, to be mindful of Him, to obey Him perfectly, and to be aware of it. I mean, to be aware of in Christ alone, we do. Because we live by the faith of the Son of Man who loved us and gave Himself for us. You know how a believer walks? He walks by faith, believing Him in whose faith, when Christ walked this earth, did He know and hear and obey perfectly? You know He did. His faith. We live by the faith of the Son of God, the Son of Man, who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's our righteousness. That's our honor. His righteousness that clothes us. But Paul the Apostle saw something. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. If I do that I would not, it's no more I, that new man, that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. The same I, that's me. That's me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil's present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This is a believer struggling. Striving against sin. Sin striving against the new man. Struggling. That new man desiring honor before God Almighty. The presence of sin. He He can't do what he would. One day he will. One day. When Almighty God puts off this body of flesh, gives us a new body, changed body, we'll see him. We'll know him then. As we're known. That's how does he know us? He said, in that day, we'll know him. We'll know as we're known. But right now, we're struggling creatures. But struggling creatures that know something of the God of all grace, understanding. And in that new heart, back in Proverbs 14, there's something that rests in the heart of him that has understanding. What is it? Scripture says, and here's a secret. Here's a great secret. It's wisdom. 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 That is God's gift to God's people. It's Christ Himself. The gift of God. The gift of God. Wisdom Himself. The wisdom of God and the wisdom from God. And here's what's happening. There, wisdom Himself rests. He dwells as the King victorious and giving comfort, strength to His people. And they rest in Him. He dwells in them. Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3, 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of God, of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. God's gift. Wisdom Himself. Wisdom resteth, continually resteth, in the heart of His regenerated people. And those in whom Christ dwells, they rest too. They rest, the Scripture says, from their labors. They've ceased from trying to establish a righteousness before God. Christ is their rest. They boast in Him alone and seek no honor to themselves because they know He is my righteousness. I'm not trying to establish a righteousness before God. Christ is my righteousness. What right do I have to enter into His presence? In myself, I have none. I'm a rebel against God. But in Him, by His grace, by His purpose, by His will, by His privilege, by His mercy, by His compassion, He has given me wisdom as my surety and given me a new heart in which wisdom rests. We have no comfort but Him. But, back in Proverbs 14:33, but that which is in the midst of fools is made known. That which is in the midst of fools, what's in their heart? Pride, arrogance, self, my boasting, my will, my ability. The unregenerate reveals his heart. He'll reveal it in his actions. He'll reveal it with His mouth. Scripture sets forth, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Listen to an unregenerate talk. You'll hear it. My will. My choice. Their heart and the emptiness of it is manifested. They do the very opposite of one in whom Christ dwells. Romans chapter 10, I'll just read this to you. Romans 10, verse 3, the Scripture says, "For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." It takes a new heart to bow to Christ by faith. And say, "Lord, everything that I can do is dumb. You're my life." God's gift to His people. Secondly, God's mercy to His people. Verse 34, "Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." When it comes to a nation being exalted in the sight of men, there might be a lot of things that temporarily might be said to exalt that nation. Power, military might, natural beauty, you know. Graciousness to the rest of the world. You know, I think of the United States. This is a wonderful country. I love this country. I love patriotism. I love the American flag. I love people that speak with honor and the love of their country. I love that. I appreciate soldiers. I love that. But when it comes to a nation being exalted in God's sight, there's one thing, according to this scripture right here, that's needful. One thing. Righteousness. Righteousness exalteth a nation. And knowing that nations are made up of people and there's none good, no, not one, the latter part of that 34 says, "But sin is a reproach to any people," or to nations, to any people. That's interpreted nations. Galatians 6:16, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace on them and mercy from the Israel of God," the nation. There's a nation. It's the Israel of God. There's one nation in which righteousness is found. The Israel of God. That nation that is robed in the righteousness of Christ. Those that renounce all trust in and dependence upon their works of self-righteousness. The nation of Israel. The nation of God's choosing. I'm not talking about that place where there's a lot of fighting's going on. I'm talking about the true Israel, the people, the elect of God, God's bride, the Israel of God, the prince with God. That nation, one nation, is found with righteousness. It's God's elect. Now look at it. Righteousness exalteth a nation. This nation, Revelation 15:3 says, "They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. They're saying, 'Great and marvelous are Thy works, Lord God Almighty, Thou King of the saints.'" Righteousness, Christ's righteousness, exalteth a nation. One nation. There's only one nation in which righteousness is found. It's found in the nation, God's Israel, that is robed in the righteousness of Him alone that pleases God. But sin is a reproach to any people or the nations. Here's the third gift. God's justice to His people. Verse 35 says, "The king's favor is toward a wise servant." but his wrath is against him that causeth shame. There is but one wise servant. There's only one. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. It is he who is wisdom himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we are his servants. Romans 1:1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. James 1:1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his servants. We follow him. We are unprofitable servants. When we've done all that we do, we've done that which was our duty. We are but unprofitable servants. You know what that means? That means we haven't added one bit to his glory. We have not produced anything of ourselves. We're his servants. We follow after him. But there is one wise servant. The servant who is the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 52:13, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. I looked that up. Intelligently, wisely, with understanding. My servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. He is God's wise servant. And all that's chosen in him are the recipients of his wisdom, the recipients of his work, the recipients of his grace. And God Almighty accepts us in him, accepted in the Beloved. And we know it. We know it. Thankful for it. He is the one that God Almighty is pleased with. How gracious is Almighty God to give us a heart of understanding. That heart in which Christ Himself, wisdom, rests. And we in Him. How thankful we are that righteousness, His righteousness, exalts the nation. We're exalted in Him. Accepted in Him. The king's favor is toward a wise servant. But his wrath is against him that causeth shame. His wrath is against the man who is under shame because of himself. He causeth shame. Men can say, well, I'm not converted because God didn't choose me. I'm unconverted because God didn't call me out of darkness. No, you're unconverted because you will not come to Christ. That's the reason. You will not believe. You're not going to lay that at God's feet. I'm telling you, if God left every man and woman to themselves, every one of us would do the same thing. We'd all perish. We'd all be like Sodom and Gomorrah. If God had not left a remnant according to grace, we'd all be just like Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? They were all under the wrath of God. They're in hell. They're in hell. If God had not left a remnant, we would be under God's judgment. Whenever somebody raises their finger toward God and says, it's your fault. My friend, no. God looked and saw that there were none righteous. It's by the grace of God that God has given any man, any woman, a new heart. That God Almighty would give him Christ. And give him to Christ. It's by the grace of God that Almighty God has exalted His people and His blessed Son in His righteousness. It is by the grace of God that we are what we are. Look not to your works or your will. You look unto Him who is the Lamb, God's Lamb, slain. Lord, bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.